The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 19th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, it's such a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. It's raining, and I can just hear the trees and the flowers and the earth just celebrating, getting all wet and saturated, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I'm really excited. I have a very special guest with me this morning. Sitting right across from me in the studio is one of my favorite people in Sonoma County. That's Katrina Phillips. She's the chair of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission, and we'll be talking about the commission, their mission. That rhymes, the commission and their mission and issues that they are working on. And also we have a surprise announcement at the end of our interview where I understand Katrina has a brand new job, another contribution she's making to the community. Well, you know, it's Black History Month. And for the whole month, I've been presenting Black women who made a difference. And it's very, very interesting, you know, as a Caucasian woman, as a woman who studied women's studies and all kinds of different things, it wasn't until I really became familiar with Black History Month that I began to understand the contribution that African-American Black women have made to our community. So February is Black History Month. Let me give you a little bit history. It started out as National African American History Month. It is an annual celebration of achievements by Black Americans and a time for recognizing the vital role of African Americans in United States history. You know, we failed to do that, you know, and the thing that frustrates me the most is that we have in schools, they have Black American studies. And what's happening is they're working, they say, oh no, we can't let you know our history because we're going to feel bad about some of the things that we have done or whatever has gone on in the United States. But that's not true. We have to honor those who have helped build our country. We have to honor those who have participated in our country. And we also have to recognize that we're all citizens of the United States and we deserve to be treated equally. And that's why it's so important that we have organizations like the Human Rights Commission. Well, the event grew out of Negro History Week. And since 1976, every United States president has officially designated the month of February as Black History Month. Other countries around the world, including Canada and the United Kingdom, also devote a month to celebrating Black history. Now, when I read this, I realize that we have made many, many steps forward, but we have to continue to make steps forward, and we have to look at the fact that there are forces out there who would like to get rid of all this, who would like to make just say, oh, no, it didn't happen, you know, none of this happened, but no, it's not true, and that's why it's very important that we celebrate this month. Well, in honor of this month and to honor the accomplishments of African-American women, each Monday I have been highlighting two African-American women. And for this show, I will be honoring, well, I'm going to say happy birthday to a few of them, and I will put that into my segment, Our History is Our Strength. So let's go into Our History is Our Strength. Since this is Black History Month, I am highlighting Black women and who have had an impact and worked to make change. Oftentimes, these women are not known for their knowledge or for their intelligence or for their contributions. I believe the more we know about each other and our cultures, there is hope that maybe one day racism will be non-existent. And I think familiarity, when you become familiar with somebody or you begin to understand their culture, you begin to understand what they stand for, you begin to understand some of the struggles that they've been through, it's really a lot easier to become friends because we all share. We're all part of the human race and we all share that experience together. And it's wonderful when we get to know each other. And I hope through these programs this month that you have a new appreciation for some of the accomplishments that these women have made. And, you know, women are a force that we really cannot ignore. Let's put it that way. So let's talk right now about birthdays. Today is February 19th, but on February 18th, 1931, and I believe she passed away in 2023, Toni Morrison. Oh, she was an amazing, amazing writer. And I'll tell you something. She opened my eyes to so many things. She was a Pulitzer Prize winning novelist. She was the first African-American woman to win a Nobel Prize in literature. Now, that's a lot to be proud of, let me tell you. And then also on February 18th, 1934, and she made her transition in 1992, was Andrea Lorde. And, you know, Katrina, what was that thing you said that Andrea Lorde said?
Oh, Audre Lorde, there's a beautiful picture of her. She's standing at a chalkboard, and written on the chalkboard is,
women are so powerful.
Women are powerful and dangerous.
Oh, women are powerful and dangerous. Well, I like that. Well, I think we're two dangerous women sitting here because we are very smart and we are very involved. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Andre. She was a chairperson and president of, or she held, wait a minute, what's going on here? She wrote poetry and essays every year, and she fought sexism and homophobia. She joined the struggle for civil rights and feminism, created the Kitchen Table Women of Color Press, which was an amazing, amazing little publication. I mean, when I went and looked at some of them, it was exciting to even recognize that these women were doing this at this time when there was so much racism going on. So a big shout out to Andrea Lorde. I mean, and in 1988, she wrote a burst of light into highlight her response to working and recovering, or I don't believe she did recover from liver cancer. And that's Andrea Lorde. I mean, she's really, in my mind, she's really a heroine. What do you say? I like to say hero. I think she's a hero. I think she really stood out and did a lot. She had a lot to say, and people listened to her because she was not afraid. She stood up for what she believed, and she believed that she was a human being and she had a right to speak, and encouraged other women to do the same. So blessings to you, Andrea Lorde, wherever you are. Well, also because we try to bring in all women from all different backgrounds. I found this very interesting. On February 19th, 1952, she was born. That's Amy Tang. She was a novelist. She was a mother, a daughter, and she was the one who wrote The Joy Luck Club. And I'll never forget that movie. It really gave me insight into Chinese Americans. And what also was so interesting, a Happy New Year to Chinese Americans on February 10th. It was their first New Year's 2024. It's the year of the dragon. And it's so interesting about the year of the dragon when I think about it. I'm a dragon. You know, my sister-in-law, Nancy Norton, is sitting here in the studio with me. She's also a dragon. We're born the same day, March 18th. And my grandson, Ryan. Hi, Ryan. I'm sure he's listening. He's also a dragon. And my daughter, Susan's a dragon. And Amy Tang is a Chinese American. And I just want to say happy, happy New Year to all my Chinese Americans that are listening out there, especially the women. And, you know, it's very, very important that we recognize that all women in all cultures are important. You know, that's what's so important about the United States. We are a diverse country, and I don't know why we can't get over it and recognize it. We are a melting pot for so many, so many people. And when you think about it, look at the Chinese people. Oh, my goodness, what they brought to the culture, what the African-American women have brought to the culture, what the Jewish women have brought to the culture. You know, all these different women that have been working hard to bring women forward. I think it's very important that we acknowledge them. And here's another one in February, I think, is very, very important. I mean, when I realized that she was born on February 24th and I could talk about her, she made her transition in 1996. She was actually born in 1936, is Barbara Jordan. Now, there is a woman, Barbara Jordan. She was a politician. She was a star debater of Texas State University. She served in Texas State legislation from 1962 to 1972. She was elected to the House of Representatives in 1973 to 1978, where she sponsored expanding the coverage of the Voting Rights Act and voted to impeach Nixon, taught 17 years at the University of Texas, and she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1964. What a woman. Another African-American woman that achieved things that, I tell you, when I read her biography, I say to myself, man, I'll tell you, if she can do it, I can do it. So it's an amazing. These women have really brought a lot to us. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's so interesting. I got a email the other day from a friend of mine, and she said she was just curious why I'm just focusing on women. You know, am I a sexist? I don't think so. You know, I love men. I have my partner sitting here right next to me. But what I think is very important that women have a voice, that they have a strong voice. They have an individual voice without any interruption, but just that these are women's issues and we need to talk about it. And when you think about it, I want to tell you a funny story. When I was at Sonoma State, it was at the height of women's studies. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was so ignorant that when I think back, you know, I was in my early 30s and I had no idea that as a woman that I was even being oppressed. I mean, even though it was happening to me, even though I had a failed marriage, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to marry and have lots of children and all the different things that happened. You know, I was just not aware of the power of women and the power of their accomplishments. So here I land at Sonoma State and now they're starting women's studies. And I want to do a shout out to my professor, Ann Neal. She was just amazing. And all of a sudden we're all gathering and we're all talking about women, all these different women issues, and we start talking about women in art. I didn't even know there were women artists. I mean, that's how dumb I was at the time. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting there and I thought to myself, wait a minute. This is very interesting. Now they're going to tell me I can teach a class? Because what Ann Neal did, she said, women need to teach women. And that's it. So, okay, so what do I take? We had all these, this was in 1973, all these women were coming back to school, single mothers. It was just amazing. I mean, President Johnson had all these different grants that were available to women. So what ends up happening? I get to teach a class. And I thought, oh my God, I get to teach a class. Well, I taught a class called Survival as a Mother. And I wouldn't believe it. The second time the class meets, all of a sudden there's these people out there, men and women, and they're picketing the class. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? And they said, we want men in our class. And I said, wait a minute, this is Survival as a Mother. So I brought the women in, and I brought everybody in, including the men, and we all sat down. And I said, look, let's look at what's going on here. We have a class 2 times a week for 45 minutes. You mean to tell me that women cannot come into a room 2 times a week for 45 minutes just to be women? And men cannot allow that to happen. I says, will you explain that to me? The next thing I knew, the men just got up and left, and the women stayed in the class, and we had a beautiful semester. And it was very, very interesting having the conversation of what it was like to be in a class with just women. It took on a whole new flavor. And that's what was going on in Sonoma State. So, again, it shows the power of women once they come together, once they make a decision that they have a right to be here, have a right to have a voice on their own, things have a way of changing. So I just thought I would share that little story because it really, really impacted my life when I realized I myself was feeling guilty. Like, I mean, I don't know how to just be with women. You know, without competing with them or without thinking they're better than me or prettier than me or they're going to get the guy and I'm not. It was a whole different flavor. So I want to thank Ann Neal. I want to thank the Sonoma State Women's Studies Department for all that it brought me and brought many, many other people. Well, folks, that's a lot to think about on these birthdays, a lot to think about the contribution of African-American women, the importance of looking at women meeting and gathering, how important and how powerful that is. So there's a lot to think about. But, you know, that's the whole point of Women's Space, is to start thinking about things, to start accepting ourselves as women, accepting our own power, and appreciating and respecting all people of our gender. Wow, that's a lot to think about. Even me, as I'm saying it, thinking about it, I'm going, wow, that's a lot. Anyway, it's time to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing, this is one of my, it's not really a song. It's a poem that's written by Maya Angelou. And she's actually reading it. And it's called I Still Rise. And I got to tell you the history behind that song for me. When I first heard that song, I was going through a very turbulent time of my life. And when I don't know how it happened, I think I turned on to some station or something was happening, and there was that poem being read, and I did the history on the poem, and I said, Myra, you have become one of my heroes. You are motivating me. If you can rise, I can rise. If you can be strong, I can be strong. And it really helped a lot. So we're going to play that song, Still I Rise. And it's a song that speaks of the struggle of a woman. And she really struggled. I mean, amazing, amazing woman. I cannot believe her accomplishments. I mean, when you think about it, and when you listen to that poem, you understand exactly where she's coming from. And when we return, I'm going to have the honor of interviewing and talking with Katrina Phillips, who's the chair of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission. We're going to talk about the commission. We're going to talk about its mission, and we're going to talk about how people can get involved. And also, we're going to talk about Katrina just told me that over 150 people showed up at the Human Rights Commission to discuss an issue, and we'll be able to go through that issue and find out, you know, what was motivating everybody and what did they accomplish. But when she told me that, when Katrina told me about the show up, 150 people showed up, it really let me know the importance of this commission. And trust me, it's a one that struggles to stay alive all the time. You know, it's not just, they don't just hand it to you and say, hey, it's okay. It's always watched, scrutinized, evaluated, and always struggling to keep its door open. But you know something? Somehow they always make it. Under the leadership of Katrina, they have amazing things that have been accomplished. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Katrina Phillips, who is the chair of the Human Rights Commission here in Sonoma County.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high. Still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes. Shoulders falling down like teardrops. Weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave and so.
Oh, I tell you, when she says that, I am the hope of the slave and my ancestors. It just, oh my God. It just resonates in me. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. And for you folks just joining us, I want to remind you that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinion of the station, its guests, or Women's Spaces, or any of their board of directors and Women's Spaces. And I'm really excited that you are here listening with me. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me here in the studio is one of my favorite people, Katrina Phillips, who is the chair of the Human Rights Commission here in Sonoma County. Welcome, Katrina. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
Oh, it's just great to have you here. You know, I'd like to tell, I have a real short bio on you, and then I want you to fill it in. I mean, this is too short because I know you've done many, many things. Katrina Phillips moved to Santa Rosa 10 years ago from Los Angeles, where she was an actor and also worked as a counselor for risk youth. She's been a volunteer with the Fire Pet Rescue and Reunification since the Tubbs Fire. She's a member of the Sonoma County Human Rights Trafficking Task Force and is currently the chair of the Commission on Human Rights. Do you want to add anything to that, Katrina?
With all the spare time that would I have? I actually have a new job.
Oh, okay.
And I'm working as a service navigator with West County Community Services in Guerneville. I work at the shelter. And so now my life is pretty much 24/7 human rights.
Well, you're also the chair. I mean, you're the chair along with the new job. So you have both. Well, you're a very strong person. I know you can handle it, and you do a fabulous job. Well, let's start the interview. You know, it's really interesting. This is the second interview we've had. I interviewed you, I think, about 2 years ago, then when you first came on the commission and became the chair. And here, 2 years have passed. And, you know, you describe yourself as a biracial Army brat. I love that, which I find to be both unique as well as an important aspect of your life to talk about. Talk about some of the challenges that you have being biracial and how you handle that and what motivated you to become part of, say, the Human Rights Commission.
Being biracial at my age, so when I was born and my parents got married, it was still illegal in 17 states for a black and a white to get married. So there wasn't very many of us. There are now, which makes me so happy. To see biracial children, little babies.
Oh, they're beautiful.
And but there wasn't very many of us back then. And so it was very awkward, whereas a lot of times white kids wouldn't like me because I was half black, and black kids wouldn't like me because I was half white. Wow. So I was in a completely... another minority within a minority. Always considered black on any paperwork, any government forms. There was never an other box. You were black or you were white. And so it was a very interesting way of growing up. Being an Army brat was wonderful because I got to see so many different cultures. And I could understand that everybody was unique in their own way. And I think what's interesting is that my parents never sat me down and said, "You're different." They never mentioned it at all. We just were who we were.
Exactly.
And it was an amazing way to grow up.
But that's so important,
mm-hmm.
You know, because when all of a sudden you're different, you have to separate yourself, isolate yourself. But here you're just, this is you. You're Katrina, and this is, you happen to be biracial, but that, what does that have to do with the price of milk when you start thinking about it?
Yeah.
Well, how did that influence you? I mean, how did that, as you went along your journey, how did that influence you to become part of the Commission of Human Rights? I mean, why was that important to you, and what did that mean to you when you were able to do that?
I think back, even when I was in Hollywood acting, My favorite roles were always roles in movies or TV that were, excuse me, or theater, that were gripping, that were intense about a certain aspect of human rights, whether that be LGBTQ rights, whether that be prisoners' rights, whether that be any human rights. Those were my favorites. I really got into them. And then while I was acting, I got interested and I started working with at-risk and homeless youth. And that right there just blew my heart wide open. At that time, and this was almost 20 years ago, in Los Angeles alone, there was 13,000 homeless youth.
Oh, wow.
And you think about it, like today here in Sonoma, we have around 2,500 to 3,000 homeless people, and our county can't figure it out. It can't manage it. And here I am dealing with 13,000 homeless kids. So when your heart explodes that hard and that big, that just led me right down the rabbit hole.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about that, because oftentimes in the show, I always end the show reminding people that our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. And when you look at the homeless and what they're having to go through and the disappointment and the actually recognizing that they're not sometimes getting the support they need, because I believe a baby doesn't ask to be born. We create that child. And so all of a sudden it's thrust into a world that has some of these issues. You know, what is it going to be like when it grows up? Is it going to be a loving spirit? Is it going to be a trusting spirit? Or is it going to be somebody that's angry and feels that they have not been taken care of?
Well, what's interesting is that with the onset of social media, I still call them my kids. People ask me, you know, have you ever had children? No, but at one point in my life, I had 27 at a time.
Well, I believe as a woman, because the Creator, whatever it was, gave us the ability to bring forth life, that we are responsible for all life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a woman is a woman. We've been endowed with that energy to be able to create the life. We need to take care of that life, and we all need to help take care of it, because sometimes, you know, I was looking in our neighborhood the other day, and I thought, you know, we all live in little individual houses, and I don't know if my next-door neighbor needs help, or the one down the street, or I don't know what's going on. It's like we don't know each other. And then when you come out in the streets like this and you begin to see 13,000 young people out there with no homes, trying to go to school, trying to do the things they do, it gets into your heart. I'm sorry.
And with social media, several of my kids have found me. And we chat, we talk. One of them wrote to me and said, you know, they're adults now. And they say, one of them said, hey, can I talk to you? Can I get your phone number? It's nothing weird. It's just that you're still the only person that I trust in the whole world.
Well, that's a compliment.
And so I was like, of course we can talk. It's not weird. And they were about to transition from female to male and wanted help and counseling. And so we did that.
So how does that make you feel?
Amazing.
Yeah, because you feel that you're contributing.
Oh, not only am I contributing, it's a matter of building trust. And trust and respect is how I feel, and communication. Trust, respect, and communication. With those three things, I believe we could change the world.
Say that again. I like that.
Trust, communication, and respect.
That is beautiful.
We can change the world with that.
That is beautiful. No, that is really, I like that. I like that very much. Well, now let's talk about the commission. So all of a sudden, here you are in Sonoma County. You lived in Los Angeles. What part of Los Angeles did you live in?
All over.
Because I lived, you know, I actually lived in East L.A., that's where I was born, and then West L.A., that's where I ended up graduating school, then moving up to Sonoma County. Well, I went to New York, and then moving up to Sonoma County and all that. So how did you get involved? How did you find out about it? What was your first experience? And you came into the commission when I believe Dimitri was on the commission, and it was very, very powerful at the time. So
yes.
Go ahead, talk about your first encounter and what it did for you and why you were so attracted to it.
It was during the 2020 protests and the George Floyd protests, and we were in lockdown, and the world was crazy. And I realized I could either get out and do something or just sit in my room and cry. And I'm a doer. And I joined the commission. I had no idea there was a commission until a friend of mine sent me the website and said, why aren't you doing this? This is who you are every single day. Why aren't you on this commission? And so I applied. And when I got in, you know, I had been, it's a process to get in. And so I started paying attention after I applied and listening to the meetings and watching the meetings on Zoom and, watching Demetra just be the most powerful person that she is. And
hi, Demetra Smith, if you're listening, we love you here in Sonoma County.
I was so happy and so proud when I got accepted, and I was so excited to be at my first meeting as a commissioner, and Demetra resigned. And I was like, oh no, I'm lost. I'm already lost. And then we had two more chairs, and then the Honorable Jerry Threat, when he left to Canada, and then he left me, and now I'm chair, and I love my commission. I love my commissioners. They are so powerful. They are so lovely and intelligent and strong and loving. I depend on them, and I can't help but when we're in a meeting, I can't help but beam. I get so excited and so just proud of them. And some of them, I'm seeing them find their voice for the first time, maybe in their whole lives. And I'm like, see how powerful you are? That's it. Keep going. I like to say that my gift is helping people find what their superpower is.
That's amazing. I kind of am in the same camp as you. I mean, that's why we have that pledge. You know, my self-esteem doesn't depend on anything outside of me. You know, mm-hmm. Who cares what you think of me? I'm doing my work. I'm doing the best that I can. That is just amazing. I mean, it's an amazing story. And I really want to do a shout-out to Dimitri because she was amazing. I mean, when we were – I was also on the commission. That's when I first met her. And the commission was not like it is today. I mean, once she took over as chair and once, you know, all the different things happened, it really had the power and the energy that it needed. Well, before we go on in the second, we're going to go on a second break. But before we do that, I'd like you to just give us a little history about the commission, if you know, especially in Sonoma County. And what are some of the issues, maybe one issue before we go on a break that you're talking about right now?
Excuse me. The commission was formed in 1993, and our mission is very simple. It's very, you know, make sure that the human rights of every human in Sonoma County is valued and protected. In doing that, we have an online, it's called the Visibility Project. And people can go onto this website and describe and log when and where and what happened when their human rights were violated. anonymously, because a lot of times, just like other crimes, people don't feel safe to come forward because of embarrassment or shame. So they can log this anonymously, and we have the data, and then we can create a report and give it to the supervisors about what's really happening in our county.
You know, that's an important point, because when I was sitting on the commission, they had an issue at Anley High School.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very. In fact, that's what really, as far as I was concerned, that Dimitri really put her heart and soul in is to kind of resolving that issue, which had to do with racism. And the first thing I remember was a mother of a child that was having the issue. And I'll never forget, the first things out of her mouth was, "I didn't know where to go. Someone said, go to the commission, and I don't even know if you can help me." And I'll never forget that, sitting there listening to that. And then she went into the story, and we just hopped on it. And there was a lot of resistance. That was what was so interesting. That's when I found out how important the Commission on Human Rights are, because once you start getting resistance, you know, someone doesn't want the truth. Someone doesn't want the cat out of the bag, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So that's why those commissions are so, so important. You know, I think we have now the Human Rights Commission, the Commission on the Status of Women, and then we have the NAACP, which really helps. I consider that kind of a commission also. So if there's a lot of stuff in this county that is going on, well, we're going to take a quick human break, a quick musical break, and you're not going to believe this, but I actually found a song by Maria Griffith called Human Rights. So we're going to go ahead, folks. We're going to take a musical break, and the song I'll be playing is Human Rights, sung by Marcia Griffith. To me, this song speaks of the struggle of what it takes to have human rights, to have commissions like human rights, to have a place where people can go and say, "I feel violated. Please help me. My children feel violated. Is there anything that you can do?" And it, what I'll never forget when that woman said that, "I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. Someone suggested I come here," and it was an amazing process. So I want to just thank everybody who serves on the commission, and let's go ahead and play that song, Ken. And when we get back, we're going to be continuing this wonderful conversation with the Human Rights, Sonoma County Human Rights Commission Chair, Katrina Phillips. Go ahead, Ken.
Only poverty they know, poverty and disappointment.
human rights? What are our rights as human beings? You know, that's a real interesting question to ask. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I am continuing my conversation with the chair of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission, Katrina Phillips. Welcome back. Welcome back, Katrina.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, talk about some of the key issues that the Human Rights Commission is working on now. And I know, like we said at the beginning of the show, that 150 people, that is amazing. When I got on the, nobody was showing up. And here you have, that shows the result of your work, that you're bringing that many people in. So talk about some of the issues the commission is working on now, and particularly this most recent one. And I know you're going to be having a special meeting. So go ahead, let us know about that.
First of all, we have ad hocs and committees, and each commissioner is asked to join one, at least one. As chair, I'm kind of on all of them because I oversee and I help where I can.
And you also have the junior commission.
Correct, correct. And the junior commission is amazing. They're working on a project right now on housing sustainability. They're a brilliant commission in and of themselves. We also have immigration reform, where in August, myself and another commissioner, through different groups of like Almas Libres, we marched from Petaluma to San Francisco in 2.5 days, 43 miles.
You're kidding.
To demonstrate the 43 years since we've had immigration reform. And there was a lot of people that were undocumented. There was a lot of people who had crossed the border many times, helping others like the Underground Railroad.
Well, you know what's interesting? I have to interrupt here because people have to recognize that people do not do this unless they're either being there in a war zone, or they can't find, they don't have food to eat.
Exactly.
You know, and most, if you talk to most immigrants, I mean, I'm from a family of immigrants. I'm only a first generation American on my father's side. Why did they come from Poland to the United States? Because they were persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to find freedom. They wanted to have rights. And so it's very, very interesting. That's so important that people recognize that people are not coming because, hey, I just feel like leaving and this is a good idea. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So go ahead, continue.
So that was amazing and so eye-opening. I was working security, and as we're marching, somebody tried to run me over in Sausalito.
Oh, my God.
And I realized, at first, I didn't even know because he came from behind. I had my arms out. People were marching past me. And then all of a sudden, people started screaming and grabbing for me. And so the car had been about 20 feet away. And as they were grabbing for me, and I was, you know, kind of like, get off me. they're screaming in Spanish. And I turn around, and the car was not 2 inches away from my legs.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't scare very easily. And in that moment, instead of fear, I just had anger. And I turned to him. I turned around and faced him. And I pointed at my eyes. And I pointed at his eyes. And I said, do it while I'm looking at you. And he just froze. And finally, somebody from the march, like, took my arm and pulled me away because I wasn't going to leave.
But, you know, I'll tell you, the most important thing you did was go eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone looks you in the eye, it's really hard to do anything. You know, all of a sudden you have that human contact. And it's like, it's a real eye opener. Well, I'm very happy that nothing happened.
Yeah, me too. And you know, so we do all kinds of issues. When Veterans Affairs, we're going to form a new ad hoc about veterans. There's a lot of homeless veterans. We do a lot of work with the homeless, especially with the cold. how they haven't been opening the warming centers. I'm bringing awareness to so many issues. I'm saying, put yourself in those shoes. Put yourself on the street. Think about it. How does that feel? To be hungry. To be cold. To be wet.
I've never been hungry. I've never been cold. I mean, I've been cold, but I never had to be outside, you mm-hmm. know. And when you think about that, I mean, one of the things that I became familiar with when they had the fires, I had to go to a Safeway. I mean, rather, we found out Raley's was open, and we found out they weren't going to be taking credit. We thought we weren't going to be taking credit cards, and all I had was $20. And I went into Raley's, and I took me an hour to try to spend that $20. I ended up with peanut butter and a loaf of bread, and I can't believe something else. And when I got to the line, and all of a sudden I found out they were taking debit cards, I suddenly felt like a millionaire, you know, now that I had the resource to get this. Now, what if you don't have the resource?
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like when you're hungry? What does it feel like when you only have $20 in your pocket?
So absolutely.
It's very, very interesting to have those experiences. And that was mind-altering for me when mm-hmm. that happened, especially the transition, finding out when I could use my debit card, like, oh, wow. You know, I'm okay, but what if I didn't have it? I
mean, well, what people don't understand is that there's so many different ways that people become homeless. It's people think, oh, they're a drug addict. Oh, they just don't care. Oh, they'd like leeching off the government. No, there's so many people where, you know, they're a successful restaurateur with their partner. And the partner suddenly dies. And suddenly, you don't know what to do. You've lost the love of your life, your business partner. Then your business fails. And you can't, because you don't have the support, all of a sudden, you're out of your home and your car. And this is a true story.
But it's interesting that they call it, you know, that they call it, like, who do they think they are? They're entitled. When you think about the war machine, how they feel they're entitled to, mm-hmm. to get their fair share of the money, but yet to feed people on the street.
Yeah.
Well, talk about the most recent thing. I mean, I'm really curious about that. You had 150 people show up. I mean, that's a massive crowd.
Well, it was in person and also on Zoom. And it was about our statement concerning the conflict in Gaza. And that right there, for some reason, sparks people in such a hostile way that I was blown away. Here I am talking about peace, begging for peace, and being called anti-Semitic. And I was like, don't you know who I am? We helped get a golden resolution passed by the Board of Supervisors last year against anti-Semitism and all hate speech. That's who I am. And I'm so careful with my words. Not only do I look up the definitions of the words that I use in my statements or a resolution, I look up the opposite of the words so that I have full 360 spectrum understanding of that word. And somebody told me, you are being anti-Semitic when you say the word ceasefire. And I said, I'm just asking people to stop shooting at each other.
Well, I got to tell you a story.
Oh, wait a minute. The opposite of the word ceasefire is hostility. And I do not support hostility anywhere in the world.
Well, I The story that I want to tell you is I had a great debate with my dear friend, Susan Lamont. You know Susan.
Oh, yes.
When I kept saying to her, I'm not going to take a side. I'm not mm-hmm. going to take a side. And she says, you are taking a side. I said, no, I'm not taking a side. She says, yes, you are. When you say I'm not taking a side, that means you're still saying it's okay what's going on rather than saying what you really mean. And I think what you really mean is you want justice and peace.
Yeah. So that's what I'm asking for.
And that's what you're asking for. So you get away from I'm not taking a side. You say, this is what I want. War is not the answer.
Exactly.
You know, this is killing women and children is not the answer. The only answer is to sit down at the table
and talk. Again, communication, respect. That's what we need.
Well, I'm Jewish. I was brought up Jewish, so mm-hmm. I guess I'm anti-Semitic with you. You know, I mean, seriously, because that's what I believe. I believe in peace. I believe that we have to sit down. Now, if we can invent an airplane, if we can invent a computer system that can actually, kids can go to a photographic machine and make a fake gun, we can talk about peace.
Exactly.
I mean, if we have that much intelligence in that area that we can figure those things out, why can't we figure out how to sit down at the table and
exactly.
talk about peace?
Exactly.
So what was the conclusion with all these people? Everybody got – did you listen to 150 people? That's what I want to know.
Well, because there were so many people, I had to limit comment to 2 minutes.
Oh, well, actually.
And so I sat like this with my hands clasped in front of me, sitting straight up. I didn't move my face, Elaine. Do you know how hard that is for me to not move my face for 4 hours?
Well, true leadership, baby.
And I listened.
That is true. That is what you call leadership. You sat and you listened, and you're sitting there because I know how I used to feel like, oh, I just want to punch that person, you know.
But I had to listen to everybody's opinion, and I wanted to hear everybody's opinion. I wanted to hear every thought, every passionate emotion, whether I agreed with it or not. I wanted to listen. I wanted people to know that I'm hearing you. And there's something that I taught myself a long time ago, and that is this phrase. And it can be used for negative and positive. Thank you for showing me exactly who you are. And that's what I was going through my head the whole time while I was listening to 4 hours of comment was thank you for showing me exactly who you are.
Well, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Thank you for not only doing that, but for making the space for that to happen. Well, you know, Katrina, it goes by so fast in this studio that I don't know what hits us, but we're looking at the clock and we only have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the last words. I'm going to give you give our website, anything that you'd like to share in your heart. And I want my listeners to hear this. I'm saying thank you for allowing 150 people to speak and for you to sit there 4 hours and show and demonstrate true leadership in my mind. I just want to thank you. So go ahead. You have
thank
the last
you.
Word. You got to give the website and whatever that you feel is important.
I think the most important thing is two things. This Thursday, the 22nd, we are re-releasing a new statement on the Gaza and Israel conflict. Public is welcome. We're going to be in the chambers of the Board of Supervisors on Administration Drive. Please come. I'm here to listen again. And we have worked and reworked and reworked our statement. I think that it's going to be acceptable to everybody and still have the power that I believe in. Number two, the last Thursday of every month is our regular meeting. And this month we have the most amazing Demetra Smith and Kirsten Lange from the NAACP talking about their contributions and they're working with Sonoma State University on the history of slavery in Sonoma County. They're going to be doing a presentation, two of my very favorite people in the whole world. Please come join us.
When is that going to be? The last Thursday of the month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you send me a flyer on that?
So yes, I will.
Nice. And also, just to let my folks know that our next show, we are going to have from the NAACP, Kristen.
Wonderful.
And I just love her. Also.
And the one thing that I would like to leave you with is, while you're celebrating Black history, please also celebrate Black futures.
Black what?
Futures.
Oh, definitely. A future for all of us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, looking at the opportunity to maybe having an influence on ending this horrible war is going to assure a future. Well, Christine, thank you so much, Katrina Phillips, for being on Women's Faces and for giving me this wonderful, wonderful interview and giving us all this information. And wonderful. I'm looking forward to that meeting. I mean, it's very simple. And all the information, all the different things that we talked about will be on the website, www.womenspaces. Anyway, this is Elaine Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I'm telling you, this has been such an enlivening and enlightening conversation. You know, human rights, that's all we want. We just want the right to be free, the right to love, the right to have a home, the right to have a good job, the right to have a good medical. I mean, the right to our children to grow up with a future. I mean, I remember, when in my family, everyone talked about their children going to college and all those other wonderful things, which are being made harder and harder as time goes on. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And as I say every week, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that.
She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 19th, 2024.